Here's my disclaimer. I'm not preaching to any one person. If anybody, I'm preaching to myself this morning because I need this just as much as anybody else. Because, you know, when you point at somebody, you got three fingers pointing back at yourself. So this message is just as much for me. And what I'm going to be talking about today is prayer. How many of you guys believe that prayer is one of the most important things that we can do in our spiritual lives? I've always told my students and my youth groups that I look at prayer time, I hold that over the time of preaching. Because prayer time is, we're talking to God. We're talking to the King of the universe, okay? I'm just a guy, you know? But when we talk to God, when we pray, you know, we're getting his attention. So that's, to me, that's above everything. It goes above everything. And I also want to say that I do believe in quality over quantity. Okay, I do believe a 10-minute heartfelt prayer is more important than an hour-long hollow prayer done out of duty. Okay, quality over quantity. But I also believe that it's going to take more than 10 minutes a day to get the attention of God. Okay, I believe it's going to take, if we want to see results in our life, if we want to see God move mountains, if we want to see God change structures in our family life, change situations in our daily lives, it's going to take more than 10 minutes a day. Okay. Whenever someone tells me that things are going difficult and they're having a hard time, I always ask them this question: how's your prayer life? How's your prayer life? And Seth, 95%, about 95% of the time, everybody says it's not where it should be. Their prayer life, every time somebody's going through something and I ask them that question, their prayer life is not where it should be. And every time I'm struggling with something, I catch myself, I ask myself, am I praying like I should pray? And typically the answer is no, I could probably spend a little more time. We always can spend a little more time. And I'm not saying that if you start praying all the time that your problems are going to go away. They're not. They're not going to go away. You're still going to be struggling with family members that are getting sick. You're still going to be struggling with situations at work. You're still going to be struggling with friends talking about you behind your back. You're still going to be struggling with all this stuff. But I can say this, if you pray like you should pray, God will give you the endurance to make it through these tough situations. Amen. If we want to see God work in our lives, it's vital that we start building a foundation that's grounded in a consistent prayer life. Johnny was going to build himself a new house. It's always Johnny. He was excited. After all, he had never lived in a new house. One morning, he hopped into his pickup truck and he headed to Lowe's to check out the supplies he would need to begin construction on his dream house. After getting with a professional, he compiles a list of supplies and begins walking the aisles to compare prices and begin gathering materials. As he walked through the huge aisles of Lowe's, his glow of excitement soon turned to a shadow of gloom. The prices of materials that were needed were outside of his budget. You see, Johnny wanted a two-story colonial home with a wraparound porch, rear deck with access to a swimming pool, and a three-car garage. He had big dreams, and he wanted all his neighbors to share and wonder at his beautiful home. Just then, a thought exploded into his mind. If he could just skimp on some of the materials needed for the foundation, then he would have enough in his budget to build the home that he envisioned. Some of you know where I'm going with this. I'm in the future, too. So Johnny cut corners, bought some cheaper materials for the foundation, and came in under budget. 5 months later, Johnny's home was complete. And it was beautiful. It was gorgeous, the talk of the neighborhood. Johnny would stand up in his front yard and smile at his dream house. It had become a reality. He had a place for his wife and three kids to call their own. Johnny was very proud of himself. And one night, as Johnny and his family were sleeping, a strong thunderstorm blew up from the south with sustained winds up to 75 miles an hour. As Johnny and his family slept, his dream home crashed around them from high winds, killing his wife and kids. Only Johnny survived. And after the insurance investigation was complete, it was discovered that the house did not have a strong enough foundation to stand in the storm. This morning, I want each and every one of us to realize something, that we need a strong foundation if we're going to stand. A strong, and I believe with all my heart, that foundation is rooted in prayer. Without strong prayer foundations, your relationship with Jesus, it's going to be weak. Okay? It's going to be inconsistent. And this morning, I want to talk about two foundations that are crucial in our walk with Christ. Foundation one, you must see your daily prayer time as a relationship with God and not just a duty. It's our relationship with God, not just a duty. The Pharisees, these guys were a strong religious group. You know, they existed in the time of Jesus, and they were religious leaders of the day. And many looked up to them as the very representatives of God on earth. You know, they were big. They prayed many times daily. They would stand on the street corners and pray. And they wanted everybody to look at them and hear them pray and see them pray. And it was all about what they looked like. But Jesus told them, you don't have a personal relationship with God. You see, praying as a duty or a discipline is not enough. If you're going to have a powerful prayer life, it's not just a daily ritual. It's a commitment to a personal relationship with God. Personal relationship with God. And I believe God views prayer like this. He sees it as an expression of that which he desires most, which is your personal relationship of love, your trust, your intimacy, your surrender. Matthew 22:37 says, you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. If I ever told Danielle, I love you with all my heart. You mean the world to me. I love you so much. So because I love you so much, I'm going to spend 5 minutes a day with you. 5 minutes a day with you. Yes. Or, sweetheart, you're so awesome. I love you so much that, but you know what? I've been busy at work. So I'm going to force myself to spend a few minutes a week with you. What do you think will happen? Coming in for counseling? I might be sleeping by myself, you know. I may need stitches, you know. Maybe both. And I believe statements like this sound so crazy. But it's simple. When you truly love someone, you want to spend time with them. When you truly love someone, you want to spend time with them. And I believe love for God is spelt T-I-M-E. If you love God, you're going to spend time with them. Let's look at an incident in the life of Jesus which illustrates this point. Luke 10:38-43. Did you drink through this, Pastor Mo? Oh, well. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he had said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. So two sisters with very different views of what mattered to Jesus. Martha was busy doing tasks for Jesus, but had no time to fellowship with him. And Mary, she had a priority straight by making time to sit quietly in his presence and listen to him. And it wasn't long before Martha started getting a little ticked off that Mary wasn't doing anything. So she thought she'd go to Jesus and bust her. But Jesus said no. He ended up busting her. And he said, Mary has chosen a better thing. With Jesus, it's all about relationship. And the only way we can get to know Jesus is through talking to him. I would never know Pastor Mo if I never talked to him. We'd be strangers. And I believe that with all my heart, if we don't talk to God, we'll be strangers to God. We can't know his heart. He can't know our hearts if we don't talk to him. He desires our time. And here's the truth that I want you to grab hold of this morning and run with. That if you're ever going to work for God, if you're ever going to do any work for God, you need to spend much time with God. Don't ever attempt to witness to anybody if you're not prayed up. Okay, don't ever attempt to talk to an atheist or a Muslim if you're not studied up and prayed up, because they will eat you up and spit you out. And I told Cassidy last night, don't ever go on a missions trip if you're not prayed up. You need to, if you're going to be doing God's work, you need to make sure you're prayed up. When I went on a missions trip in 2007 to Africa, for 3 months before the missions trip, we took time out of every day to pray and fast. I fasted from media for 3 months. And, you know, there is life away from media, by the way. I fasted from media. I prayed. I fasted certain foods. And when I got on the plane ride to Africa, my very first plane ride that was almost 30 hours long, I got saved again on that plane because I prayed again. I want to make sure, God, if there's anything in my life that shouldn't be there, please let me know. And I got saved again. So pray. And when you're done praying, pray. So ask yourself this, are you a busy Martha or a prayerful Mary? Because I believe the church is full of Marthas. Every time we have a sign-up list in church for something needing to be done, it's full. We always have a full sign-up list, you know, and thank God that we have workers in the church that want to do things, and I'm not cutting that down, but every Monday night for prayer, church is almost empty, you know, and again, I'm stepping on my own toes here, you know, I don't always come. Now, I understand work, I understand people have work, we can't always make it to prayer on Monday nights, and I understand that you have prior obligations, you can't make it to Monday night prayer, and I understand that, I'm not cutting you down. And I understand that maybe you're just too tired after a day's work. You know, I'm not saying that you have to be here. But I also understand laziness. I understand laziness. I also understand inundating our lives with so much stuff that we lose focus. And I'm not saying you have to be physically here on a Monday night, but are you praying the way you should pray daily? Are you doing what you should do? We tend to get our lives, and I'm not just talking about inundating our lives with just regular stuff. We can also, ministers can get so busy with the things of God, the work of God, that they'll lose their spiritual lives. I know of several pastors that lost everything because they lost focus. They didn't pray like they should pray. When I was in Bible college, I know personally a lot of students that lost their spirituality because they got so focused on the job. They got so focused in school that they lost their spiritual lives, and they're no longer serving God because they got so busy with stuff that they got away from the relationship. And it's ironic that the very thing that they were going to Bible college for is the very thing that drove them away. Jesus said our first priority is to spend much time with him. And only then, when we love him like that, only then can we love him as he desires to be loved. John 15:5 says, apart from me, you can do nothing. So in order to maintain a close relationship with Jesus, we have to spend much time in prayer. If we're going to become a powerful Christian, we have to spend time in prayer. Foundation two. You must make an absolute commitment to consistently spend significant time alone with God in uninterrupted prayer. I believe this is one of the greatest inventions of all time. They say that, I've heard this said, that there's more technology in this phone than the technology it took to send the first man on the moon. I don't know how true that is, but I've heard that. It sounds good. But this is the one thing, I believe, that will send a lot of people to hell. The one thing that will send a lot of people to hell. And not just because of the obvious things, because of the smut that you can bring up on a phone, the things that you look at that you shouldn't be looking at on a phone. Not just because of that, but because of the time that you spend on a phone that takes you away from God. And I'm guilty of it. I'll come home after a long day of work, and I just want to lay down and watch a movie, or watch a fight, or text somebody. And before long, it's bedtime, and I'm tired. I'm going to bed. I'm guilty of it. Like I said, I'm pointing back at myself when I'm preaching this morning. I'm guilty of it. The world is so busy and hectic that we need to set aside a certain time throughout the day for prayer. And sadly, Christians believe in the lie that it just takes 5 minutes of QT to have a good relationship with God. Guys, we need a lot more than 5 minutes a day with God. I believe we've been spoiled by microwave generation, microwave popcorn. I think Pastor Mo said it a few weeks ago. We're spoiled. We want it done in 10 minutes or less. We want it our way, but God is not Jiffy Lube or Burger King. You know, God is not a spiritual convenience store that we can run in and get a snack. You're not going to get it that way. God wants us to fill up completely, and it's going to take more than 5 minutes a day. I once heard someone say that they don't pray more than 3 minutes at a time, but they don't go longer than 3 minutes without praying. T-I-M-E. Matthew 6:6 says, when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father secretly. Then your Father who knows all secrets will reward you. And history shows us that every great awakening, every great revival that's ever happened, every spiritual movement, those churches averaged more prayer time than the average church. If you look at great revivals that this world has ever seen, they had one common denominator, and that's much time and fervent prayer. I don't believe brief times of prayer are going to get us to where God wants us. Pray. You know, every Monday when we're praying, Pastor Mo puts up the little signs around the church, schools, church staff, youth, souls, children, and revival. Do we really want to see change in our schools? Do we really want to see change in our youth? Do we really want to see change in our children, souls, revival, church leadership? Pray. 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 And when we're done praying, pray some more. And I have three reasons why I should absolutely commit to pray daily. Reason one is Satan fears, well, first of all, too many people, and I don't know if it's because of horror movies or what, but too many people fear Satan. We're scared of Satan. We're terrified of Satan. We tremble at the sound of Satan. We're just so scared. But guys, we have the ability to put fear in Satan. Okay, reason number one is Satan fears prayer more than anything else and fights prayer like no other area in your life. Why? Because prayer is essential to putting on your full battle gear. Prayer is the one way we have spiritual authority and wage warfare. Prayer is the key to true soul winning. Prayer is the key to any revival or any awakening to take place. Prayer. And if prayer and scripture are your primary weapons to do what you expect, what do you think Satan's going to do? What do you think Satan's going to attack you at? prayer. He's going to attack in that area. He's going to put things. He's going to make your neighbors come over to you when you want to pray. He's going to make your phone go off when you want to pray. He's going to make something else happen when you want to pray. He's going to attack us in this area. He uses every ounce of power he has to shut us down. And so I believe we have to be absolutely committed in these areas to pray. Now, there's going to be distractions. There's going to be disturbances. There's always going to be something else to do. So expect it, fight against it, and make a commitment to pray. And reason number two we should pray is our flesh always resists the development of a powerful prayer life. Matthew 26:41 says, keep alert and pray. Otherwise, temptation will overpower you, for though the spirit is willing enough, this body is weak. Now, serious prayer is more like a raging battle rather than a brief, sweet reflection. It's a battle. Okay, we are praying to God. It is a battle, and it's not going to be easy. It's going to be a struggle. And if you can remember this when you pray, and it's going to shift your focus, and you'll begin fighting. It's normal for our bodies to resist prayer. It's normal for us to struggle against it. And every time we talk to God, every time we go into prayer, we're not going to be happy. We're not going to feel like it, you know. Just think about it like this. Not every soldier that goes into battle is smiling. So sometimes we're going to be angry. We're going to be mad, all right. But we got to get it done. In order to win, we got to get this done. In order to win this fight, we have to get this done. We have to be powerful prayers. Whatever it takes to ensure and guard your time alone with God, we have to do it. And reason number three why we should commit to praying daily is the world system of human strength is direct opposite of God's way. Isaiah 55:8 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Look, God's ways are way too freaky for us to understand. We're never going to understand God's ways. We tend to place our biggest emphasis and time on human strength. We tend to fix things and figure out things on our own. We plan programs and I'm not against programs, but we plan programs without praying first. I know so many churches that say, we're going to do this, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do this, and we're going to get all these people to come in without talking to God first. And I think those programs fail because we didn't talk to God first. If you plan on doing anything in the church, talk to God first. Make sure it's okay. Amen? Because I believe our prayers, our programs without prayers offend God. Pray. We have to ask God to teach us how to pray more effectively. Now, I'm going to give you a big clue on how to pray, because a lot of people, especially teenagers, I've had so many teenagers tell me and ask me, how do you pray? And why are y'all faces lighting up like that? They're taking pictures. I'll give you a tip. Y'all write this down or record it or whatever you got to do. But this is the big tip on how to pray, how to be a more effective prayer. You ready for this? Pray. That's how you become a better prayer. You pray. How do you become a better football player? You play football. How do you become a better runner? You run. How do you become a better fighter? You fight. The only way to become a more effective prayer is to pray. Pray. Pray, 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 pray. And when you're done, pray again. I believe that's the only way God's going to be able to answer the things that we have in our life, if we pray. I close with this. It all boils down to this. We have two choices today. Yes, I do want to become a more powerful prayer, or no, I don't want to become a more powerful prayer. That's our choices this morning. What's your choice?